are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on this show we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join me this Sunday towards the end of the game to get in on the action. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. And coming up on today's show, we are going to talk about the Giants' game last night against the D-backs. It was a bit of an unusual game. Giants looking like they were going to romp this D-backs team, but then, as has been the case against Arizona in the last couple weeks, they put up a fight against the Giants, and they came back from a 5-0 deficit in the blink of an eye against Alex Wood. And then in the ninth inning with a 2-run lead, Jake McGee gave up his first earned runs since late May, which is just ridiculous. But that happened. I mean, 2 blown leads, but then the Giants being just as resilient as they are, and this has just been an unbelievably resilient season, which is, of course, very fitting given that their kind of tagline coming into the year was and is resilient SF. So despite the blown leads, the Giants still found a way to win, and it was on a walk-off error. I'm going to give credit to Chris Bryant, who hit kind of a smash to the right side that the first baseman in a Giant overshift couldn't handle. Would have taken a good play to get him anyway, given Bryant's speed, and the first baseman would have had to hit the pitcher running to the base to cover. But man, I mean, this is a game that the Giants of old, I feel like, wouldn't have been able to overcome losing those leads. The kind of gut punch of losing those big leads and then combine that with not having necessarily a great offense is a recipe for a loss. But this team, I mean, it's just crazy. They don't play even close to their best game last night and they still find a way to win. So we'll get into all of that. I also do want to talk about some roster moves that got made and some roster moves I anticipate coming up. But just to kind of dive deeper into the game itself, Alex Wood was on the mound, as I alluded to, and he started off great. He was perfect through, I want to say, 4 innings. There was a great diving play by Lamont Wade Jr. that preserved the perfect game early on there. But then in the 6th inning, in the blink of an eye, the D-backs scored 5 runs to tie the game. And it started with a double by the pitcher, Zach Gallen. So it was kind of just about as unpredictable of a 5-run rally as you'll ever see. I guess there was some criticism out there. I didn't see a ton of it, but I heard people like responding to the criticism that somehow this was Gabe Kapler's fault and he should have made a move earlier. But I will just back up what I saw other people saying, that this happened so fast, I don't think that it had anything to do with Kapler or making moves. And Alex Wood was so good early on, and this is the Arizona Diamondbacks. We're not talking about the Dodgers. You know, this is a team that you anticipate he'll be able to get that next guy, but it just never happened. And in a span of, I think, 12 pitches, the Giants went from leading 5-0 to the score being tied at 5. So it kind of continues a theme for Alex Wood of just, to me, that game kind of summarized his season, right? Because he was so good early on in the season, and then struggles kind of set in. And that's exactly what happened in this game. So good early on, and then struggles set in. So overall on the year now, Wood has a 4.22 ERA, which is below league average, meaning, you know, worse than league average when adjusted for the ballpark. And the peripherals are better, suggesting he should have better results. But I do just have some concerns about him moving forward, as I think is natural if you've been, you know, been watching every single start he's made. There are definitely some concerns there. It was kind of a third time through situation with all those hits coming by the D-backs. I believe they had 5 extra base hits in the inning, which they put a note out on the television broadcast was a Diamondbacks franchise record in any inning in their history. So that's about as unpredictable as it comes. Like I'm saying, you can't see that coming. And every batter that comes up there, you think he's going to have a shot to get him out, but it just didn't happen. And they all hit extra base hits. But, you know, so I just had to get that out of the way, talking about Alex Wood's struggles. They've also got Kevin Gausman has been less consistent lately. Anthony DeSclafani has been less consistent and is currently on the IL. Johnny Cueto has been kind of up and down this year. Logan Webb has been fabulous, and so he's kind of emerged for me as possibly the number two guy. He and DeSclafani, but right now Webb is undoubtedly pitching better. Gausman is a key, though. Gausman is a huge key for this Giants team down the stretch and potentially into the playoffs. If he can get back to being his dominant self, and if Webb can continue to pitch like a true mid to, you know, number two starter type, then the Giants would be in a good position if DeSclafani can get back on track as well. I know that's a lot of ifs, and that's kind of why I have some concerns about the starting pitching moving forward. Just some concerns. It is not time for full-blown alarm or panic. But if you're talking about a postseason series and the Dodgers can throw Walker Buehler and Max Scherzer and Julio Urias and potentially Clayton Kershaw at you, you may be a little bit overmatched and maybe a lot bit overmatched. So, you know, that's just kind of, we're looking ahead there, but the Giants are in such a good position to make the postseason that it's worth talking about. So coming up next, we'll talk more about this game. I want to talk about the offense a little bit. They had a really good night. And I also want to talk about the Giants' position in the standings and their kind of playoff position as a whole. And as promised earlier, we're also going to talk about some roster moves that happened and some that I anticipate will happen as soon as tonight. So all that coming up next, but first, this episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I'll be hosting rooms for Locked On Giants once a week. That's right, you can finally join in on the conversation you listen to here every day. Green Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the league. You'll have a chance to chat with me and might even have a chance to be featured on the Locked On Giants podcast through our Green Room conversations. Go download the free Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. Follow me at Ben Caspick to be notified when my room goes live. Download the app and join me this weekend during one of the games to get in on the action. I can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts on the Giants, so I'll see you there. Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. All right, as promised, we're going to talk more about this game and about the Giants' offense, which I just think continues to be one of the best in baseball. And when you look at the lineup, it's just one of the best lineups this Giants team has been able to throw out there in a long time. So we'll get into that and how I think it played a big role in the Giants winning this game. Haven't even mentioned Buster Posey yet, who just had a fabulous night and is just having a superstar level season. Posey had 2 hits and 3 walks. He was not retired in this game. As I look at the box score here, his OPS is nearly 1,000, which is just remarkable out of the catcher position. Right now, he's the best catcher in the game. I don't have the numbers pulled up, but I kind of don't even need to because I just know there's nobody doing what he's doing from this position. But I want to talk about the Giants' place in the standings. So, unfortunately, the Dodgers and the Padres also won last night. So the Giants held their ground. 4-game lead over the Dodgers in the West, 7-game lead over the Padres. The Padres have a 4.5-game lead over the Reds in the wildcard race. So that means that the Giants effectively have an 11.5 game lead over the Reds, which means their grip on a playoff spot is held onto by an 11.5 game margin. So that's obviously really good. The Reds have lost two consecutive games. I've long been pointing to the Reds as a team to watch here if you're just interested in the Giants making the postseason in general. Obviously, expectations and hopes have changed given that the Giants have a significant division lead here on the 11th of August. So I think the hope has realistically become that the Giants win the division, but personally, I would definitely consider it a successful year if the Giants make the wild card game in any capacity. Because we have to remember where people's expectations were for this team coming into the season. The Giants are now, 72-41. They've had the best record in the game for a number of weeks here. I don't know exactly when they took over having the best record, but they haven't given it up. They've held on to it for, I want to say, almost a month. And they've been in first place, I believe, coming up on 3 months. It's been at least 2.5 months, I believe, that they've held sole possession of first place. They're outscoring their opponents by 131 runs on the season. There's just so many good numbers. It's incredible. FanGraphs, which has historically been a little bit more pessimistic about the Giants, much to my chagrin, because, you know, I used to write for RotoGraphs, which is part of FanGraphs, but I think that their projection system undervalues the Giants. I've said that for the last couple of years. There's a lot that the Giants do that doesn't really get picked up by projection systems. Like, the projection system doesn't understand the influence of the Giants' hitting coaches. The projection system doesn't totally understand how Gabe Kapler manages the lineup and the roster in such a way that they maximize the players and the talent that they have. So even with these kind of pessimistic projections, they still do have the Giants finally now being slightly above 500 for the rest of the season. For the longest time, FanGraphs thought that this was a below 500 team. And it's like, come on, they're 72-41. Like, they're clearly not a below 500 team talent-wise. You don't go 72-41 with a bad team. But anyway, so with their, I think it has them being like one game over 500 the rest of the way, but that gets them to 97 wins. So the projection now on FanGraphs is that the Giants will win 97 games, which is just incredible. And that comes with 99% playoff odds. So that's obviously really good. I will not rest or be happy until that number is 100%. But 99% is pretty darn close to 100%. Technically, they've got them at 98.9. That is rounded up to 99, of course. FanGraphs has the Giants' odds of winning the division at just 37%, Dodgers at 59%. I guess I kind of think that holds. Giants have a pretty tough schedule the rest of the way. Dodgers are still a really good team, but to have a four-game lead is to have a four-game lead. Trouble is, you know, there's still a long way to go. I think the Giants, yeah, they have 49 games remaining, so a lot remains to be seen. But they just amazingly find ways to win, different ways to win. Like, they just had a really tough, grinded-out series with the Brewers on the road that they won. And then last night, facing, you know, an inferior Diamondbacks team, looked like they were going to lose it, even though they had these leads. But they still found a way to win that game. It's just, they find ways to win. But, you know, the magic dust can always run out. You could easily have lost a game like the game last night. So they'll have to keep it going. And that's part of what's been great about this Giants team is they don't take anything for granted. They're always looking to have the best roster out there at any given time. They're always making moves to make sure people are fresh and in position to succeed. And so that's why I have a lot of faith that they can keep this going, at least to an extent. So anyway, coming up next, as I promised, we will talk a little bit more about the offense last night, which I just think was a huge part of why they won. And we'll also talk about the roster moves that got made and the ones I think may happen as soon as tonight, will we see Evan Longoria back in a Giants uniform starting tonight? I think it may happen. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There's really something for everyone. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors well, you're missing out. Coconut, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you'll get two of each of the 9 flavors. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too, and that's really important to me. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from just 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Built Bar is also the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The baseball season is in full swing and you can track all the action at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit using the promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, as promised, we're going to talk a little bit more about the offense and we're going to talk about some roster moves. So those two things kind of go hand in hand, actually, because we are going to talk about Evan Longoria. Now, I noted on Twitter prior to the game that per the Giants transactions page, they had optioned John Brebbia back to Sacramento. He had been called up just for the game on Sunday to give them some more pitching after they had completely burned through the bullpen the day prior. But he was optioned back to Sacramento prior to the game yesterday. So that left them with an open major league roster spot, and they have an open 40-man roster spot after they DFA'd Aaron Sanchez the other day. So I speculated that it could be Evan Longoria or Reyes Maranta coming off the 60-day injured list, because that would require a 40-man move. Like, they have to be re-added to the 40-man roster to be activated. And they also had the open major league spot, so they could just slot right in without having to make a corresponding move. However, the surprise corresponding move, or just move with the open spots, was that they recalled right-handed reliever Camilo Doval prior to the game last night. So I just happened to think, I mean, first of all, that's weird. It was a bit of a weird move considering Doval is not pitching particularly well in Sacramento, AAA Sacramento. He's had serious command issues, just a ton of walks. And if you look at the more recent games, he's walking even more guys than his season averages, which are way too high. So the way I kind of perceived that was that they just had Doval on the active roster in case of a blow up, in case they either had a massive lead and they needed him to eat some innings, or in case they had a massive deficit and they needed him to eat some innings. But I seriously doubt he was going to make any kind of high leverage relief appearance last night. So the thing is, Camilo Doval can be optioned again. It is a little bit odd, like, why not just keep John Brebbia instead of Doval and have Brebbia in that same kind of mop-up role? I don't totally understand that move. Not that I'm criticizing it, it's just, like, I don't totally understand what the logic was behind replacing Brebbia with Doval, given that I don't think either was going to see any kind of leverage innings. But anyway, Evan Longoria, I think, is close to returning. He did not play in Sacramento Yesterday, he was not in the starting lineup, but it remains to be seen if he's going to be activated immediately. Like, he could be back in that Sacramento lineup today, although it does look like they may not even play today. But the fact that Longoria was not in the lineup and then they don't play today, I'm not sure they want to give him 2 days off in a row. Anyway, Longoria is close to returning, and it wouldn't take much to get him back on the roster because they have that open 40-man spot. So I think he could be activated as soon as tonight. I thought it could happen last night. It didn't, but he could be activated as soon as tonight. And then that just improves this really, really deep Giants lineup. Like, as I look at this lineup right now that they were able to throw out there last night, went Wade, Belt, Posey, Crawford, Bryant, Yastrzemski, Dickerson, LaStella, and then the pitcher spot. So when your bottom three is Yastrzemski, Dickerson, LaStella against a right-handed pitcher, I just think that's really, really deep. And your bottom half is Bryant, Yastrzemski, Dickerson, LaStella. Some people might be saying, oh, Dickerson, he's not very good. He did have a solid game last night. He had a run-scoring hit. But if you're thinking, oh, Dickerson is the weak link there, then you're going to be happy about the activation of Evan Longoria, because activating Longoria takes Bryant away from third base and puts him into left field. So it takes playing time away from Dickerson. So a really, really good and deep Giants lineup becomes that much better and deeper, and the defense improves because you're essentially replacing, you know, you're A, improving by putting Bryant in left instead of Dickerson, I think, and then you're improving massively by having Evan Longoria on the field just because he's that good. So I really look forward to that. It doesn't bode all that well for Alex Dickerson, though. But this Giants lineup, I mean, they were kind of the story last night. The pitching took away from it a little bit. But, I mean, Brandon Belt hit a ball that should have been a home run. He hit it 409 feet, absolutely a barrel that just happened to be an out. So it was really sad to see that. But even with the shorter dimensions, the ballpark still oracled Brandon Belt last night. As I said, Posey was not retired in his 5 plate appearances. Bryant crushed the ball last night, didn't have the hits to show for it, and then that last play was ruled an error. But he just was scorching the ball last night. He had 2 rockets to the outfield that were caught. Yastrzemski had a good night with a double and a single. LaStella just continues to scuffle a little bit at the plate, but he's hitting 8th for you, and he puts up a tough at-bat. So, I don't know. This Giants lineup, when everybody's healthy, it just figures to be one of the most dangerous in the game. And that is obviously a good thing. I mean, they scored 8 runs last night, kind of got lost with all the pitching blowups, but, you know, this is a team that is very, very capable of just going out there and scoring 8 runs on any given night. So anyway, that is all the time we have for today. I'm just like randomly remembering there was an awesome video tribute to Madison Bumgarner. Rennell Brooks Moon introduced him. He was in the dugout for Arizona, got a huge standing ovation, so much so that he came out over the rail onto the field and doffed his cap at the crowd. So that was a really cool moment. Just definitely had to talk about that. Coming up tonight, it'll be Kevin Gausman. I'm going to be watching every Kevin Gausman start really closely to see if he can get back on track. His last start was against the D-backs also, and he definitely looked better, but let's see if he can keep it going. Merrill Kelly on the mound for the D-backs. He shut the Giants down 8 shutout innings in his last start, so we'll see if the Giants can figure this guy out. So coming up tomorrow, we'll break it all down, talk about all that. I can't wait to see you then. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic, and you can follow me on Twitter, and you should, at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. It helps me out so much, so thank you in advance, and thank you to everyone who's done so already. I can't wait to be with you again tomorrow. Thanks again for listening. You are now Locked On Giants.